is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the Resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, September 29th, 2014. Here are top stories.
Tonight, the CFR reveals a plan to neutralize American distemper. Then, tear gas is fired on protesters in Hong Kong. And Louisiana police want residents to fund Big Brother. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Everything is awesome. Everything is fantastic when you're part of a team. Everything is wonderful when you're part of the dream.
As Steve Watson points out in his article on InfoWars.com today, Henry Kissinger is the kingpin of Bilderberg. He's the architect of overthrowing democratically elected governments. Bill O'Reilly was on ABC News this week talking to George Stephanopoulos, and he had this to say about Henry Kissinger.
We don't have any patents today, but I was with Henry Kissinger last night, and he told me that my idea of a worldwide anti-terror force paid for by coalition nations under the supervision of Congress.
So not just the U.S. Bill O'Reilly and Henry Kissinger on a mercenary force.
Simpatico. It's a worldwide war against jihad. Not going to stop. So let's win the war. And that's what George Patton would say. Let's win the damn war.
Did you catch that? He said simpatico. In other words, he and Kissinger are on the same page. I would say he's more like a sycophant. He's someone who's copying what Henry Kissinger has done for years, not giving ideas to Henry Kissinger. It's a very bad idea. I would say it's more like Kingpin Kissinger meets pinhead Bill O'Reilly. The idea of a mercenary global force that is supposedly going to be under the control of Congress, even though it's over many nations, that is nothing but the same type of stuff we've seen rehashed over and over again from the Bilderberg Group, from the CFR, from all these different organizations. And it's just like Bill O'Reilly's rehashing of the book he was promoting, The Killing of Patton. That was just basically re-spinning and recycling research and interviews that were done by Robert Wilcox in his book published 4 years ago. But now Bill O'Reilly can make a lot of money doing that. It's not a new thing to co-opt ideas from people, and it's not a new thing to co-opt movements from people. This is what Paul Joseph Watson found in Foreign Affairs, that the establishment is desperate to co-opt populist risings. They don't have a secret agenda. They just have an agenda that is ignored, an agenda that is denied. But they were very upfront about it in Foreign Affairs. This is what they had to say. This, of course, is a series of articles in Foreign Affairs magazine, a publication of the Council on Foreign Relations. That's the group that essentially runs our State Department. Some interesting quotes that Paul Joseph Watson pulled out of that. He said that they were going to co-opt and channel popular passions, very concerned about the American distemper, as they called it, addressing political outsiders' legitimate grievances while bypassing their simplistic solutions. In other words, solutions that don't involve larger, more centralized government are simplistic. Now, they go on to say that they now threatens the very existence of the EU. The article says that a decline in living standards from one generation to the next and the perceived threat to national identity posed by immigration and the growth of supranational organizations. In other words, organizations like the CFR itself, like Bilderberg. And they say that that threatens the very existence of the EU, an organization that was created by these same supranational organizations. Now, they go on to say that the villains in all of this, of course, are the anti-statist populists. Listen to the way they describe this in the CFR's publication. They say these are people who see the state itself as the greatest threat to their liberty and to their lifestyle. Well, how do you turn back those people? Well, they say you have to establish a more democratic government. They wear the mask of democracy. They say we need a more democratic government by increasing wealth redistribution and a more serious attempt to tax wealth. That's their solution. Well, people aren't having any of that in Hong Kong, of course. It's in Hong Kong where the Chinese government has just changed the rules, essentially. It was back in 1997 that Hong Kong came under the sphere of influence of the Chinese, essentially being returned to them from the British at the end of a lease that they had, a 100-year lease. They were promised that they would be a special administrative region. Many of the people, I believe, in Hong Kong believe that they're going to have more of an autonomy than they actually are having. Now the Chinese government has imposed new rules that would require that any candidates for office would have to first pledge their allegiance to China and their love for China. They'd have to be essentially vetted by the mainland Chinese communists. That is what these demonstrations are about. They want real candidates. They want the ability to control their own government, essentially. So this is something that has really blown up over the weekend. Pro-democracy protesters wearing masks, wielding umbrellas to protect against pepper spray and tear gas, expanded their rallies throughout Hong Kong today on Monday. This is being called the umbrella revolution because people are using umbrellas, plastic wraps, and other things to protect themselves against the tear gas that the police are using against them. But this other article from Paul Joseph Watson, we see that actually the police are now standing back at this point, and they're concerned that it's going to turn into another Tiananmen Square. We can see that in this picture from The Guardian where you have this one small woman standing up to a group of policemen, just like that one individual stood up to a group of tanks. Now, there was an update today as well in Spain. There, another group is looking for independence, for self-government. That is the Catalonia region. It's in the northern part of Spain, close to the French border. That's an area that for hundreds of years has had its own language, its own culture. It's been subsumed into the Spanish government. They were vigorously persecuted by Franco, the communists who ruled there for a very long time. Now they want a referendum, just like they had in Scotland. The people are overwhelmingly for it. They had a parliament that voted 106 to 28 in favor of doing it. The Spanish prime minister said, nobody and nothing will be allowed to break up Spain. Well, Artur Mas, the countervailing politician in Catalonia, said, what do they have to fear from people expressing their opinions in a ballot? And, of course, the position of the Spanish government is there's not going to be any referendum unless the entire population of Spain votes on whether or not this small group can have their independence. That would be essentially the same as the UK government saying that everyone in England as well as Wales would have a vote as to whether or not Scotland could leave, not whether or not Scotland itself would make that decision. So it's denying these very forces. That's what the Council on Foreign Relations is concerned about. That's what the Bilderberg Group is concerned about. That's what Henry Kissinger is concerned about. He doesn't want a globalist force to fight some terrorist boogeyman. He wants it to maintain a centralized globalist world order. Now, stay with us right after the break. We're going to have some more information, some breaking whistleblower tapes about the Federal Reserve and their supposed oversight of Goldman Sachs. Stay with us.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries in the area of health. But no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. DNA Force is one of the most expensive formulas to produce. Some of the ingredients in DNA Force are $12,000 a kilogram. We are using the coveted, patented, only American source of PQQ, CoQ10, and more. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win. The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force from InfoWars Life.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp-looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield, Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Darren McBreen, and here are some of today's top stories that are breaking right now at Infowars.com.
The threat posed by grassroots movements like the Tea Party represents a major challenge to the existing world order, and it must be hijacked and misdirected in order to have its potency diffused. This, according to a series of articles in this month's Foreign Affairs magazine, published by the CFR. In a speech to the United Nations General Assembly, Syria's foreign minister accused Barack Obama of arming ISIS terrorists. The Obama administration and its coalition partners are fueling terrorism by arming and funding al-Qaeda militants, and the practice needs to stop, Syrian Foreign Minister Walid al-Mulem said today. Police in Louisiana are urging residents to add surveillance cameras to their homes and then hand over control of the cameras to law enforcement, an effort they claim will make neighborhoods safer. For more information, plus updates and breaking news, go to Infowars.com.
Yesterday, some secret tapes from a whistleblower were brought public by ProPublica and NPR's This American Life. Now, the person in question, Carmen Segarra, was part of an operation that began after 2008 financial crisis, where they were trying to put some window dressing of reform with the Federal Reserve, with banks, with oversight. She was investigating Goldman Sachs, seeing if they had any policy and what their policy was on conflict of interest. Were they enforcing that policy? She claims that they didn't even have a policy. And where it gets interesting is how the Federal Reserve itself tried to cover up her investigation. Now, in this article from ProPublica, they point out that one New York Fed employee, a supervisor, described his experience in trying to look at the relationship between the Federal Reserve and these banks they were overseeing, as well as Goldman Sachs. He described it as regulatory capture. They said that's a phrase commonly used to describe a situation where banks co-op regulators. He said, he included in the footnote, within 3 weeks on the job, I saw the capture set in. That's a quote from a manager. They tried to get that quote taken out, but that was left in the report. Of course, nobody really read that report. People are now starting to pay attention simply because of these tapes of the back and forth between this whistleblower. Now, when you look at this, one of the things that strikes me is that the Federal Reserve was supposedly regulating Goldman Sachs. Talk about the fox guarding the hen house. That's about as absurd as it gets. Of course, they have a relationship where they have helped Goldman Sachs as well as all the major banks eliminate their competition, as well as defraud the public, defraud mortgage investors, defraud the people who bought their fraudulent mortgage instruments, their securities that they created without having any real security behind them. In a Wall Street Journal article today, they point out that the Fed rate policies are actually aiding the foreign banks. What a surprise that is as well. They say banks headquartered outside the United States have been unlikely beneficiaries of the Federal Reserve's interest rate policies. They're likely, they say, to keep profiting as the Fed changes the way it controls borrowing costs. They say that foreign firms have received nearly half of both the $4.7 billion in interest the Fed banks paid so far this year. Nearly half of the $5 billion worth of interest. And of course, it's a game that they're playing where they essentially can put their deposits on loan with the Fed and get interest. They can borrow this money out at 0% and loan it back. They say it's a source of virtually risk-free investing. And so what are the banks that are benefiting from this? Well, according to the article, it's banks like Deutsche Bank, UBS, that's a Swiss bank, Bank of China, Bank of Tokyo, and then, of course, the usual suspects in America, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Bank of America. This is what a former economist for the Federal Reserve said, a very telling quote. He said, it's a small transfer from U.S. taxpayers to foreign taxpayers. No, first of all, it's not small. Secondly, it's not going to foreign taxpayers. It's going to foreign banks. Deutsche Bank, UBS, Bank of China, it's not going to foreign taxpayers. And he goes on to say that the transfer was a side effect of Fed policy, not a goal. No, the goal of the Federal Reserve has always been a transfer of wealth from taxpayers to the banks. And it's continuing with that same program. It's just now being seen to a larger extent to be a foreign influence, foreign transfer of wealth. Now, there's been a huge plunge in vaccination rates. We reported on this last week. The Hollywood Reporter was up in arms, concerned that the wealthiest, most educated, elite people were not getting their children vaccinated like they should. Now we see another article where they're talking about a huge plunge in kindergartners' vaccination rates, and the officials are stumped. They're amazed. They say since 1950, however, the number of vaccines that children under six are expected to obtain has grown by 414%. Let's put that in perspective. A 414% increase in vaccines. Think a few decades ago, did you see everyone hawking vaccines everywhere? In grocery stores, in shopping centers, at drugstores, everywhere. I mean, basically, you can get a vaccination when you get a fill-up in your car anymore. We have seen, however, a much greater rise in autism, something that was also never seen before. Back in the 1960s, it was just 1 in 2,500 kids that came down with autism. Now that number is 1 in 68. That's how common autism is. That's about a 3,700% increase. Now, the article points out to say that it is a lie that diseases will spread without vaccinations at a 95% rate. That's what they're pushing as part of the narrative to try to coerce people into vaccinating their kids at this much, much higher rate. They talk about a herd immunity. Well, you don't need to have everyone vaccinated to get a herd immunity. That's part of the herd mentality. If your child is vaccinated, then if that vaccine is effective, they are protected from that disease. And hopefully, you would hope that it's safe. That doesn't appear to be the issue. And that needs to be the first issue. The first issue of the medical community should be do no harm. Now, they go on to say that most states fail to meet that goal of 95% immunity that the CDC puts out there. They say that rates have run as low as 65% in Colorado in years past and 75% in Florida without seeing a massive outbreak of diseases. And again, it is a question of risks. What are the risks of your child getting something like autism versus having measles for a week? You need to be informed of that risk as a parent. You have a right to know. Now, as they proceed with this, scientists are grappling with the ethics of how they proceed with Ebola vaccines. Everything must be solved with a vaccination, of course. And they haven't proved them to be either safe or effective. And so the question is, how do we prove Ebola to be safe and effective? Once you have proven that it's safe, and they say that's a process that normally takes a very long time, we would hope that it does. We've seen that the CDC for a very long time has covered up safety issues of vaccines. They kept it a secret for 10 years after they lied about it on their study. But presumably, that's something that would be vetted over a long period of time. But at what point do you tell people that these things are effective so now you can go mingle among the people that have Ebola without any protective clothing? Yet, throughout this article, and this is an article from the New York Daily News, they are talking about moving forward anyway. They say that should an unproven vaccine be given to everyone or to just a few? Should it be offered to healthcare workers first? Should the young be given it or the old? Should it be used first in Liberia where Ebola is everywhere? These are the issues that they're looking at, and yet they say we must proceed. We don't really have time to fully vet this vaccine. That's what is most troubling about this entire scenario. Well, it's been an open secret that the Obama administration is arming Syrian rebels. Here's what the Syrian foreign minister had to say.
Syria's deputy prime minister is saying what we've all known for years, that the U.S. needs to stop arming its own enemies. In front of the United Nations General Assembly, he said, "What we see on the part of the U.S. administration is a double standard policy and alliances to score certain political agendas through supporting with money, weapons, and training the groups they call moderate," referring to the Obama administration providing means to al-Qaeda rebels who splintered into ISIS. But ISIS aren't the only ones using arms courtesy of our current administration. Guns were walked into Mexico via Operation Fast and Furious. CBS obtained documents that top brass in the Justice Department did this in hopes of demonizing the Second Amendment. Even after it was exposed that Attorney General Eric Holder knew about the operation, President Obama refused to let a good crisis go to waste and blamed the American gun rights for the violence in Mexico.
But the main point I made to the president is that we support Mexican government's focus on reducing violence, and we look forward to continuing our good cooperation in any way that the Mexican government deems appropriate. I also reaffirmed our determination in the United States to meet our responsibilities, to reduce the demand for illegal drugs, and to combat the southbound flow of illegal guns and cash that help to fuel violence.
Whether it's across the border or across the world, don't let the fraud cross you without calling it out. You can find more reports at InfoWars.com.
That's what's happening, but they prey on people's ignorance. In fact, I knew it would happen. Now I'm hearing that Assad in the news is protecting ISIS, which is Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda in Syria, Al-Qaeda in Iraq merged to form ISIS and then IS. That's on record. Doesn't matter. They're saying, oh, we might have to take out Assad, too, because he won't let us come in and take out ISIS. When ISIS was armed by the very same globalists. I mean, this is so evil.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Now, an amazing article that's on InfoWars.com today. Adan Salazar discovers that police in Louisiana are urging residents to outfit their homes with police-run surveillance cameras and pay them for the privilege. And, of course, this is the area around New Orleans where they were confiscating guns in the wake of Katrina. This whole scam was started by former New Orleans police officer Brian Lagarde, who now owns a digital surveillance wholesale company. No conflict of interest there. Actually, this is kind of like a Big Brother meets small town boss hog, if you look at this. It's the kind of a small town version of the police industrial complex, complete with revolving doors from people who move from government to industry and profit from the fear mongering. But this is how it's going to work. A $10 monthly fee is required for residents interested in granting police access to their existing home cameras. And those who don't yet have camera systems can purchase entire kits from the officer's business for $295. Now, someone who's not too happy about this, a lawyer who looks at this, says legally binding assurances of due process, security, and accountability, Project NOLA has none of these in place. He says all the data from Project NOLA cameras and all the decisions about who sees what rests entirely in the hands of Lagarde. In other words, the guy who's running this private security business. Now, of course, the sheriff reassures everybody, says, we're not going to be going out there monitoring it unless something happens in the area or we have reports of suspicious activity going on in the area. Maybe you've got a neighbor who doesn't like you and starts telling them to watch you carefully. It reminds me of Stalin's quote, you know, bring me the man and I'll find the crime. That's the issue of Big Brother, of course. And so now they found a way to profit from the police surveillance state, even in small town America. Now, Jerry Brown is not doing anything to stop surveillance in California. As a matter of fact, in spite of the California legislature voting to stop the use of drones without having a search warrant, without having a public announcement of the intent to buy and why they're going to use them, that was passed. It was a Republican bill. It was passed in the legislature. It went to Governor Jerry Brown, who, people of California, he is running for re-election. Keep this in mind. He vetoed that. Of course, that would put a big crimp in his plans to monitor everybody for water use. John Bound has that report.
California is now in their fourth year of severe drought. and a dozen communities in northern and central California may run out of water in 60 days. Sacramento's rice crop, Napa's vineyards, and the citrus groves of the San Joaquin Valley have been hard hit. 420,000 acres of farmland went unplanted this year, totaling a projected financial loss of $2.2 billion. Based on the amount of families seeking social services, UC Davis professor Richard Howitt predicts the drought will obliterate 17,000 farm worker jobs. A numerical allocation-based rate structure is being created by state and local water agencies for homeowners. Californians would be assigned a number for maximum indoor water use and another allocation for outdoor use. By surveilling every citizen's home using census records, aerial and satellite surveillance, and even the medical records, the state of California can fine $500 per violation after stage one emergency regulations were passed in July. Felicia Marcus, a chairwoman for California's Water Resources Control Board, says their reservoirs are low and half of the state's water storage is gone. Santa Monica's city council is in the first stages of implementing a 68-gallon per person per capita restriction for every home with four people. Fines may apply beyond that allocation, and Santa Monica averages 88 gallons per person per day as it is now. According to the Los Angeles Times, downtown Los Angeles is the driest in its history since record-taking began in 1877. John Bound for Infowars.com.
Well, that's it for our news tonight. If you're not a Prison Planet TV subscriber, please consider becoming one. Your subscription helps to support our operation, and you can share it with up to 11 other people at the same time. You can all watch the nightly news as it's happening, and they can have access to all of Alex Jones's documentaries. Well, that's it for tonight. Join us again tomorrow night at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.